Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Thanks for finding us wherever you consume podcasts. iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, always, of course, on the Golf Newsnet platform at golfnewsnet.com. Thrilled to be there. I'm Mitch Lawrence. He's Darren Bunch. You can find us on the social medias. Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram, just because he's a confusing kind of guy. Me, straight and narrow. Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, literally everywhere. And I mean everywhere. If you look at the World Book Encyclopedia under Mitch Lawrence, you'll find me there.
You are
Derek.
The most Mitch Lawrences per social media of any Mitch Lawrence that's ever existed, right?
Did you know that? That is true. It has to be true.
Yeah, nice.
So Darren, excitement reigns. We had a great episode just prior with our guest here on the show, and couldn't be more excited to get to our Emergency Nine questions with Zach Blair.
Oh, yeah. We're back with Zach for the Emergency Nine. For the people who maybe haven't listened to the other one or don't know who Zach is, he's a PGA Tour professional, our first PGA Tour professional to ever be on the show in our 100-plus episodes. He's an aspiring golf architect. You might call him a golf architecture geek now that you've heard us talk about it, because we have dived deep into architecture. He's wanting to build a golf course in Utah, the Buck Club, actually a golf club, really kind of a hardcore golfer golf club. He's a big time golf traveler and an overall lover of the game. And we are going to talk about all kinds of things that he has done and places he's been and things he's seen in this Emergency Nine.
It's going to be great. And Zach's back. Maybe a great new phrase too. Zach's back. As always, we're really happy to be sponsored by our friends at Two Under Apparel. Two Under has changed my life. I don't know how else to say it. Home of the world famous Joey Pouch. And it's the perfect mix of fit, comfort, and hashtag asset management. We don't have to go much deeper than that, but I can tell you from personal experience that if you're not wearing Two Under, you are missing the underwear boat. That's the only thing I can say. It has definitely changed my life. Go to twounder.com, the number 2UNDR.com. Use the promo code GNN20 for 20% off your next purchase. You can thank us later. Zach, we want to welcome you back. We had a great time on the prior episode just talking in general about the Buck Club, about Hickories, about travel, about your growing up. There was a lot we got to. This is kind of a quick hitting golf travel quiz. I know you're going to be ready for it. Somehow I sense that. I sense almost that you know what we're going to ask you. Welcome back for the Emergency Nine.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
All right, let's get right to it. You have traveled a ton as a tour player, as an aspiring tour player, and now a tour player, somebody who's been around the game all of your life, you've gotten to travel. Your favorite, and this is a tough one, but we're putting you on the spot right off the bat. Favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
Pine Valley, for sure. Just the whole experience there, mixed with the golf and the just everything. I mean, it's the best place in the world, I think.
We've had a few people say Pine Valley, and tell us what it is about the golf course that makes it so special. What is it that makes it number one in the world?
Every hole is basically a perfect golf hole. And it's a place, you know, very high golf IQ. The people you're around out there just really get it. And it's a total golf place. You know, you don't go out there to do anything else other than play golf. And they kind of get everything right as far as it goes. So it's definitely a place that's extremely enjoyable, whether you're there for just a day or you stay overnight, or, you know, you get to play the par three course or whatever. They just kind of, it's tens all across the board.
It sounds outstanding. And so much about Pine Valley that I hear about that I love. And one of these days, Mitch and I have got to make a pilgrimage, I think, to that part of the country. And, you know, usually we're playing public golf or resort golf, but there are so many private clubs in that stretch that we just need to get out and visit.
Darren, I think it's got to be a pilgrimage. I think we have to make Pine Valley that big. This is like for us going to Mecca. I think we have to go on the road. I think we have to walk. I think you have to walk from California. I'll walk from Myrtle Beach. We'll make that known. We'll show up at the gate, battered, beat up, disheveled, and say we've come this far.
I would venture to say that if we walked from each of our homes, they would probably let us on the golf course.
There you go. There you go. Or Zach can call and say, hey, these guys are great lettermen.
That's right. Good idea.
That's not too much pressure. Yeah.
All right. So moving on, Zach, what course or destination is at the top of your bucket list? Where have you not been that you really want to go?
The one that's kind of on my list that I really want to see, there's a couple. I mean, there's a bunch, but Myopia Hunt Club up near Boston and Crystal Downs are the two that I'm really interested to see in the U.S. So I'm definitely hoping to get out there this year and go check those out. I also want to get back to Mid Pines and see. I haven't been back there since they've done the restoration, and a lot of people keep telling me about that place. So
you are gonna love. You, I haven't been to Myopia or Crystal Downs, but you are going to flip when you get to Mid Pines.
Yeah,
for sure.
I spent a couple of summers out there with the McGowan family, and they mm-hmm. took good care of me. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting back and seeing both Pine Needles and Mid Pines.
Yeah, both of them are great. I mean, the work that they've done there is great.
I found Mid Pines to just be so much fun when I played it. We played it last year, and it's just. You know, it's for me and the tees I was playing and playing it with the Hickories, it was scoreable yet challenging. It was fun. There's so much quirkiness to it. And that 18th hole that comes right back up to that clubhouse is about as pure as you can get. Just that whole experience and walk up. And it's a great one. Do you have any bucket list courses, destinations that are overseas or out of the country that you have on your list?
I would really like to go to Ireland and play, you know, a bunch of the places over there and still a ton in like Scotland and England. So, I mean, there's too many to list, but I think you could just go over there and stumble across golf courses for like a couple weeks and you'd be in for a treat. So just anywhere over there is fun.
Okay, Zach, we know what your bucket list is. Now we're going to find out in all your travels, and you've done a lot of it, the best place you've ever stayed, what really jumps out at you and you say, man, if I could just get back there for a couple of days, where would that be?
The best place I've stayed as far as like a hotel or?
Yeah. Hotel, resort, bed and breakfast. It could be anything. Anything in your travels where you've stayed and it just kind of stuck with you and you thought, boy, I need to tell other people about this place.
Me and my friend Andy Johnson went up to Montereo, California a couple weeks ago and played this place called Northwood. And we stayed in a little bed and breakfast type deal up there. And I mean, that was as cool as it gets, like the golf course and just the whole like setting in the town is kind of wild. And that's a place where I would highly recommend anybody going out and checking that place out. It's really cool.
Do you remember the name of it?
I honestly don't. We just, it was the craziest story. I didn't know that it was like off season up there. So I just figured we'd be able to roll into town and there would be like hotels. And we got up there at like 7:30 at night and nothing was open. There was literally one hotel open in town and it was at this, like gay bar. And we were like not sure if it was okay to stay there. So we kept like driving around, couldn't find anywhere. We kept calling all these places. And finally we got this number of this lady and she was like, yeah, like, I'm not really open this time of year, but I'll open a bedroom up for you guys. It's, you know, it's going to take like an hour to get the heat on, but She was really cool, and it was just right down the street in Monteria. So I'll have to find that out. I'll make sure to tweet it out and, you know, hook that lady up, tell her it was awesome.
What did you think of Northwood, great Alistair McKenzie 9-hole course? From what I've heard, it's on my list of places here in California that I've yet to play, but I really want to.
Yeah, it was like the only way I can really describe that place was it was like a spiritual experience. It was so cool. We played with the Hickory driver, which was perfect because, I mean, they haven't changed the course or touched the course or anything. You know, it's kind of not run down, but, you know, they've lost some of the area of the greens that should be greens, but now it's, you know, fringe and rough, but you really has the bones of like a very special place. And it's really cool kind of set in those huge redwoods. Like you don't even have a idea how massive they are until you're there. Like you see pictures of the place and you would think it's this narrow, tight course that you can't hit any shots or else you're going to hit the trees, but it just looks that way because of how massive the trees are. But I mean, it's really cool. Like every week when I'm home, I'm like, man, I would fly out to California right now to go play that place.
Let me know when you go back, because I've been wanting to go one of these trips where I'm heading up to Oregon. I'm going to stop there and play, because you're the second or third person who's mentioned it to us really in the last couple of months.
Yeah, it's I would highly recommend it. It's so cool.
Very cool.
The place is called the Riverview Garden Resort. It's just
yay.
It's just right. I mean, it's like 2 miles down the road from Northwood. So it was a cool little experience, and the lady was so nice to hook it up for us.
That's outstanding. All right. In your travels, what is the single best thing you've ever eaten and where?
The one place that I always tell people is my favorite place to eat the entire tour schedule is this place in Houston called Dumbo Joe's. It's just right on John F. Kennedy Boulevard, right by their George Bush International Airport.
Dumbo Joe's or Jumbo?
Gumbo.
Jumbo. Oh, Gumbo Joe's.
It's like Cajun food. And I literally go there like 4 or 5 times that week. I went there yesterday after I played the Monday qualifier down there and missed, and made sure I stopped at Gumbo Joe's on my way out of town.
Solace after missing a cut. I love it. It's perfect. They were nice to put it right there so you could eat and then get out of town like that.
Yeah, it's the best. When I was bummed because they're not open on Saturday or Sunday. So when I flew down there on Saturday night, I was like so bummed I couldn't eat there Sunday afternoon, but was able to get some yesterday. They have like really, really good blackened catfish and some really good like fried shrimp. So it's a definite spot to go if you're ever in the Houston area.
All right, next up, besides golf and people, we always talk about those are the things. Golf, people, on a golf trip, what's the next most important thing to you on a trip?
Honestly, it's nice when you're in a like an area where you're not handcuffed. You know, some of those places are great resorts like Bandon or, you know, down at Barn Boogle or Stream Song. They're really cool, you know, as far as the golf and everything's right there, you know, with the resort and the golfing and everything like that. But there's not a lot to do. So it's fun when there's a little nightlife around that you guys can go out and have stuff to do other than golf. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I would say. Like a place like Pinehurst where you have everything going on in this, you know, the town, and it's not just the golf course. It is in the hotel with the restaurants in the hotel. You got other things like the bars and all the little shops and stuff. So it's, I think it's a little more fun when you have something like that.
Yep, definitely. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment that you can't live without?
Man, that's a tough one. I have no idea. Probably my butt club hats.
Nice.
I wear those everywhere, so I couldn't do anything without those.
Let me ask this question a different way. Since you are a tour player, you play golf professionally. A lot of times when we talk to people about their golf game, they have a favorite club. You know, some guys I've talked to, oh man, I want to have an 8-iron in my hand all the time. Or some guys think they're, you know, the driver is really the strongest part of their game. Do you have anything like that? Do you have a part of your game or a club that is, you know, you feel the most comfortable with?
I don't really, I feel pretty comfortable with all of them. I've hit a lot of really good shots with my 3-iron throughout the years. So that's kind of one that me and a couple friends at home always joke about that. So I'd probably go with my 3-iron. If I had to hit like a really good shot against anybody else's 3-iron, I think I would be willing to bet mine would be pretty good.
Nice.
That's why you love hickories.
Exactly. Yeah, everyone has to hit long irons.
No, but it's interesting. I was kind of kidding around, but really not. I mean, remember when I didn't start playing till I was 30, and I was deathly afraid of hitting a 2-iron or a 3-iron. And for years, I just kept looking down at it and going, oh my God, how am I going to hit this? And then once I got to hickories and I started playing them, I mean, I have a 1-iron now that I hit that's, you know, literally a butter knife.
Yeah.
And I look down at it and laugh. And if you have that connection with a 3-iron, because obviously the hickory game is built around hitting clubs with not a whole lot of forgiveness, it's a cool connection.
I would love to see what Zach can do with my mid iron that I can only hit about 165 yards. I bet he could hit it
farther,
200 plus. It's crazy. You know, I played a number of years ago when I started playing the hickories, I played in a pro-am event that they had down in Mississippi. And I played with John Malinger, who was, you know, bouncing back and forth between the two tours at the time. And I had a spoon that I hit really well. I could hit it about 210, 215 pretty regularly. And he wanted to hit it. And so I handed it to him and he hit it. And I think he hit it 255 down the middle with a nice little draw. And that club, since I had owned it, had never seen a draw. So, you know, I think it would be so much fun, I think, to play a whole round with you and just see the shots that you can hit with these clubs that, you know, Mitch and I feel like we can hit some pretty decent shots. But, man, with somebody who's playing golf for a living, I just it's really the guy and the talent more than it is the clubs. And it would be sweet to see you be able to swing.
Yeah, we should go do it sometime. I'm down.
All right. You got it. All right. Next up, we're a few away from finishing. Normally, we ask people kind of what's their handicap, what tees do they play from. Obviously, you're in a whole different level here. But what I would like to find out, when you're playing just for fun, do you just say, the heck with everything else, I'm moving up to these tees, I'm trying different things, I want to play different yardages, or do you always feel like I want to see this from the tips, from where I might play it if we were playing a competitive event?
For me, it honestly just kind of depends who I'm with. You know, in my group of golf friends, there's a wide range of skill levels. I mean, not wide, but, you know, some people don't enjoy playing the tips. So if I'm with that group of people, I definitely scoot up and play from wherever they're playing from. I mean, I'm not the longest hitter, but you know, I'm by any means out on tour. I'm probably the shortest guy out here. So I hit it fairly regularly. So it's not a huge issue. I love going up a couple sets and being able to reach a couple of the par fives.
That's fun. Yeah. But aren't you averaging like 290-ish?
No, I'm like in the 275 range.
Okay. I saw something. I don't remember where it was. Some stat that you were in the 290. Okay.
Okay. So question number 8 is, who's the most interesting person you've ever golfed with? And I think for you, we would like to hear who's the most interesting person you've ever golfed with and who's the most interesting person you've ever been paired with in an event.
I mean, I think they would. The answer would be the same. I got paired with Tiger my rookie year at the Memorial.
Who? Wait, who?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger. How do you?
Eldrick.
WOODS.
I think his name is Eldrick, isn't it?
Oh, Eldrick Woods.
Yeah. I got paired with paired with Tiger on Saturday at the Memorial my rookie year, and. I think it was my rookie year. It could have been, I don't know if it was my rookie year or my, I think it was my rookie year. So I got paired with him on Saturday at Jack's tournament. And I mean, it was the coolest thing ever. It was really fun and he was awesome. And you know, he's always my biggest like sports idol, everything. I'm like the biggest Tiger Woods fan ever. And to get to play with him as like a rookie on the PGA Tour, kind of thinking like, he's not going to talk to me, or this is, you know, it's going to be crazy in front of all these fans. And he was so nice from the opening tee shot, talked to me the entire round. And, it was very cool to, and like, I was always a big Tiger fan, and then it just like skyrocketed, and, you know, I would be hard pressed to say there's anybody that likes him more than me.
And did you beat him?
Yeah, I beat him by 15. he had a rough day. He was really cool, honestly. Like I can't even describe how awesome he was. He was very nice and tried the entire time. You know, that was kind of right in the time where he had withdrawn from a few events when things weren't going great. And you know, sometimes you hear stories about him not talking to guys or being a little standoffish. And I mean, from first hole, he talked to me the entire round about fishing and golfing and the US Open coming up. And he was so cool and so nice. And I always try and tell people that story to make sure that he gets a even better reputation than he should have.
I love hearing that. Did you find yourself at all in awe of his game, the game part of him?
Yeah, for sure. You know, even though he had a rough day, like I said, mm-hmm. but it was really, there was like four holes where he really screwed up and made like, you know, like a triple and a quadruple and a double. So it was like four holes where he really kind of got hit hard, but he hit some of the shots that I've still never even come close to seeing anybody else be able to hit. There was two shots. I remember he pulled a 5-wood or a 3-wood off the tee on number two, left in the rough, kind of behind the trees, like so dead. And he hit this like 7 or 8 iron over the trees, got it to land on the green and stop. And I was just sitting there thinking like, that was so disgusting. Like, I can't believe somebody could hit that shot. Like, that's not fair. And then he also hit one on 15, like a 5-iron from like 235 yards up the hill, like skyrocket. Thing was in the air forever. And the thing landed right in the middle of the green, 20 feet away, and just stopped on a dime. And again, like the sound that his ball makes when he hits it good mm-hmm. is just like, that's what you want to hear.
That is great. I love to hear stories about him. You know, I've had a couple of interactions with him in my years covering various events, and he's always been great to me. And I just, you know, I hate to hear when people, you know, kind of hammer him because, you know, he's so great for golf, and obviously he's got so much talent. Like you talked about getting to see it firsthand. That's outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, it was so cool, you know, to see the huge crowds of people with us, and he wasn't having his best day, and people were, you know, kind of heckling him, and I felt really bad that, you know, it even got to a point on one hole where it was just like people were being so negative towards him that I just felt horrible, and he even kind of mentioned like, you know, this is kind of why I don't play, you know, more out here is because right. it's just like so crazy. And so I felt so bad at that point saying like, this is the greatest player ever. And, you know, it's just so hard to kind of live in that fishbowl. You know, you see the crowds that go out to support him, and you know, everything like that. So he's about my favorite guy ever.
So you have to feel pretty good right now, given lately how fast he's come back. And I mean, the Masters is after we have Houston, and then the Masters is coming up as we record this. And it's pretty amazing in the last few weeks to see this astronomical jump and the support that he has now among the crowds. That's got to make you happy, given the fact that you're not only a fan, but you've actually experienced playing with him and interacting with him.
Yeah, for sure. It's great to see him back. It's, you know, for however many years he was gone, you know, for people saying, oh, like golf's in a good place, you know, golf will be okay without Tiger. It's like people didn't get it. You know, he's like, he is golf. So it's really cool to see him back, and it's very cool to see him playing well again. I was one of the few, I think, that really stuck to their guns and said, like, he'll be back, and I think he can play good golf again. So it's really nice to see him.
All right, your ninth question here. It's tough to top that particular question, but we'll give it one more shot. And this, I think, is going to be kind of a cool answer. What's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
Oh man, there's this place out on the North Shore in Hawaii on Oahu called Kahuku.
Hey, just before you say anymore, that is one of the, this is what happens to us on the show. So we did 2 hours earlier today recording with Matt Janella from Golf Channel. And I had never even heard about Kahuku being near Turtle Bay. And he raved about it. And then an hour later, we record with you, and it's your answer to this question as well. That is just outstanding. I mean, tell us why you love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and take the credit for that one. I think I'm the one that put that place on the map, I think. I mean, that place, I've been playing it for, I don't know, 10 or so years. So obviously I wasn't the person that found it, but I always go out there every year when I'm at the Sony, or anytime I'm on that island, I will drive out there specifically to play that place. It's nothing special as far as like the conditions or the architecture of the holes or anything like that. You know, it's nothing to rave about. And if you don't get it, then it's kind of not the place for you, because you would go out there and you would see the clubhouse is like this rusty shack that literally looks like you're going to get some sort of staph infection if you walk inside of it. and you know, like the greens aren't always in the, I mean, honestly, sometimes they're like fairway. It's crazy. But the whole setting and just everything, the vibe there is just the coolest place. I mean, I think I'd be lying if I said if I had one round left to play on a public golf course, I think that would be the place where I would go out and play, because it's so cool. Just the whole setting of the place is so awesome. It's fun to go out there. You can kind of do whatever you want. And it's just, you know, they don't irrigate it. They don't, I mean, they change the cups probably like once a month. It's just like, it's such a laid back place that you can go out and have a good time with your friends. And again, it's a place that you really have to get it to understand the whole vibe of the place. But more people should go check that out and, you know, try and get it.
Oh, I so wish I had known about it when I went to Turtle Bay. It just sounds, it sounds like such a cool spot.
Yeah, every year we would play BYU Hawaii's event, I think it was, at Turtle Bay. And that was the first place when we flew in to the island. We would, you know, go straight from the airport, straight to Kahuku, and play with like three clubs, you know, in like an eightsome with the entire golf team. You go out there and, you know, your, you know, swim shorts and a t-shirt, no shoes, and go out and play three clubs and just just kind of whip around at sunset. And that place at sunset and sunrise is as good as it gets, honestly.
That's outstanding. All right, our one bonus question. We want you to tell us your best golf course story, and clearly you've already told us some good ones about Tiger. What's the coolest, weirdest, craziest thing you've ever seen or done on a golf course?
So this is another one. I mean, people have probably heard this story, but for the people who haven't, you know, I'm sure they'll like it. This was last year at the Memorial. I had just got done working out on a Wednesday at the golf course, me and my trainer, and he had mentioned to me, you know, like, hey, when you get back to your hotel, you know, maybe go soak in the hot tub for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. And I was like, oh, there's a hot tub, you know, just in the locker room, you know, which is right next door. So he's like, oh yeah, go do that. So on Wednesday there, they have this huge ceremony for some, you know, famous golf person every year. And I think it was Greg Norman last year, and Jack Nicklaus obviously gives a speech and everything like that. So I had just got done working out. I went into the locker room, jumped in the hot tub, and was just kind of soaking there. And all of a sudden Jack strolls in and he's washing his hands to get ready to go do this speech, and kind of sees me out of the corner of his eye, and kind of looks in from about 20 feet away and says something along the lines of, you know, what's going on in here? And I was like, oh, I'm just, you know, just hanging out. And he kind of came in closer, but he was still a little, you know, a little far away. And he goes, do your parents know that you're in here? And I think he thought my dad was playing in the Pro-Am or something like that that was going on that day. So he came in and checked up on me, and, you know, I think I told him, no, my dad's, you know, somewhere running around here, and kind of just shook his head and walked out. And,
I remember
him seeing me in the locker room the next day and kind of giving me like a triple take, going like, hey, that kid's back in here. So I think that's a good story. That he's always been great to me too. So it's nice to share that one. We always have a laugh.
Did you let him know? Did you go up to him and say, hey, this is what's going on eventually?
I mean, I think he knew. At the end of the week, you know, Jackie had come up to me and said, hey, how real is this hot tub story? And I said, yeah, I mean, it's pretty real. I mean, it's gotten fabricated, you know, over the course of the time. You know, people, I had heard everything that week from like, did Jack really kick you out of the hot tub? Like, I heard he escorted you out. Like, it got pretty wild, but it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's cool, man. Let it go. Let it go. See how big it goes.
Memorial legend.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that's a couple of pretty cool stories with obviously the two biggest ever in the game. So that sounds like you've had quite the run so far, and there's no stopping it. You got a ways to go. We're really happy you've joined us for a couple episodes, Zach. I hope it's been fun for you. I know it's been fun for us, and we'll follow. We'll keep following. We'll keep turning people on to what you're doing. There's so much in all aspects of the game. I mean, it's great to talk to somebody who's as accomplished as a golfer, who loves the game as much as anybody, who's willing to do stuff and go places and see things and look outside the box at them and just get involved in creating courses for all of us to enjoy. So lots of stuff going on. And again, thanks a million for being with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys again for having me. I had fun.
Remember, you can find Zach on Twitter. Highly suggest you do, at @Z_Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Darren, great time with Zach, and I'm thrilled that you brought this one to the table. I couldn't be happier.
No, I've been watching him on Twitter for quite some time, and glad we finally got to hook up. So this was a fun conversation, man, and hopefully we'll have you on again sometime, and hopefully we'll hook up to play the Hickories somewhere. Maybe we'll come to St. George and play with you, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like I said, I'm willing to travel.
That's funny. So are we.
That's right.
What a coincidence.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks to the listeners, too. We couldn't do it without you. Follow us on social media. rate us on iTunes. All we want to do is help spread the word about the best in golf and travel. For Darren and Mitch, and for Tom Petty, who joins us now, keep running down the dream. So long. Yeah, right.